The first lesson today is from Psalm 22, chapters 1 through 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others, despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. The second lesson for today is from the 10th chapter of Mark. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, how hard to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I think I'm exhausted today. Worked hard yesterday afternoon trying to get the Brewers two more runs. And then last night, trying to get the Badgers to play defense. But such is life. And then we come to this gospel reading. Sometimes when I read biblical passages, I don't understand them or don't have a clue what they're trying to tell me. So I go to a commentary and read what the commentary or commentator has to say to help me understand. Other times I read the biblical passages and think, oh, I know what that means. I have some ideas. And then I read the commentator and realize this person totally doesn't get it or get what I get from it. And today was one of those days, this reading from Mark. Because the commentators kept telling me all week, this is a passage that people find frightening and scary. And I kept thinking, really? This scares us? And they kept saying, well, you know, it's all about money. Yeah, it's about money. And so it's supposed to scare us. Now I found it less scary than I did. I wanted to laugh when I read it because it's kind of illogical if you read it and think about it. Because see, here's how this goes. First of all, this story goes like this. First of all, this young man or some man runs up to Jesus and says, tell me what I have to do to be good. And Jesus in the story says, well, nobody's good except God. Oh, well, okay. But then he says, and Jesus says, but you know the commandments. And the young man says, yeah. And Jesus said, well, here they are. And did you listen to those commandments? You know, if you go back to the book of Exodus, there are 10, but there's only 6 here. And did you notice? There's actually only 5. I take it back. There's only 5. Though those 6 quotations are put in there. There's one that doesn't quite fit. Well, it does fit, but it doesn't quote the commandments as the other one does. Don't defraud is in there. But all 6 of them have to do with interactions between people. Don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal. Love your mom and dad. All those have to do with people. Do you know what's left out? Sure you do. Sure you do. You know what's left out. One God. Worship on, you know, take the Sabbath off. I forgot the others. There's 2 more. Quick, which are they? But think about that for a minute. It's how you interact, he says, Jesus says, it's how you interact with other people. And then he comes to the next part, the part that I assume bankers don't like. Give your money to the poor. Give everything away. You know, my mind, I know it always, my mind works in a weird way, and I understand that. Because my mind immediately began thinking, okay, if you sell everything and give it all to the poor, they're the ones who are then going to become rich, right? So then do they have to sell everything, give it to the rest of us who are then poor? Is that what's supposed to happen? I told you it was a weird mind up there. Think about it. This is hyperbole. You know, I wrote this down because I want to get it right. It's an obvious intentional exaggeration. That's what hyperbole is. Remember a couple weeks ago, the reading was, if your hand makes you do something wrong, cut it off. If your eye makes you do something wrong, tear it out. It's hyperbole. It's exaggeration. But, a great word, but, it's also a reminder to us today, as it was back then, with wealth of any kind comes responsibility. We have a responsibility to think about where our wealth comes from and how we use it. Wednesday night, there was a meeting of the deacons, the diaconate, one of my favorite words. I love that word, diaconate. The diaconate met on Wednesday evening. You know one of the wonderful things about that meeting was? They have this great responsibility. They take it very seriously. Made me smile and feel good, though. They said, well, now, we have how much money? And I think it's $6,000? Isn't that what you have? I think it's $6,000. And you know what they have to do? They have to give it away. They have to take seriously their responsibility for that bit of wealth and give it away. Now, everybody knows where that money comes from, right? You know where that money comes from? From you, members of this congregation. That leads me to the next step. You knew it was coming. It's October, isn't it? It's stewardship season, isn't it? This week, or maybe next week, you're going to get in the mail, if you haven't already, a pledge card. That pledge card says a couple things. And ministers are always embarrassed. You know, ministers hate to talk about three things. There are three things we hate to talk about: sex, death, and money. I'm not sure it's because we're embarrassed that we know so little about those things or what. But I'm going to talk about money. And I'm going to talk about stewardship. When you get that pledge card, think about the wealth you have. Everybody, and I'm going to say this very clearly, everybody in this room, in relationship to the rest of the world, is extremely wealthy. And I know, I've been through times, when I was thinking about this week, when I was in seminary, we were vegetarians. We didn't eat meat. And there was a simple reason we didn't eat meat. It was too expensive. But even then, we ate three meals a day. Even then, we had a roof over our head. Even then, we had clothes to wear. Wealth is a relational thing. And in relation to the rest of the world, we're wealthy. This congregation does wonderful things. It has a history of doing wonderful things. And it does that because when people got those pledge cards in the past, they filled them out and they were very generous, because they recognized that wealth brings with it responsibility. Even when we think we don't have enough, even when we think, and we hear all those ads for those of us who are approaching retirement or those of you who are retired, and we read all those stories about how you don't have enough money to retire on. And if you read them closely, you'll never have enough money to retire on, because they want you to give it to them and invest it with them. But that's another thing. But think about clearly the history of this congregation, the mission it's done, and the mission it wants to do. We're called by God to think about those six commandments. And we're called by God, just like it says in the story. Remember at the end of the story? It says, and I have this terrible metaphor I always use. It says, roll the dice, take a chance, do mission. Because when you reach out to the world and give to it, it will give back 100-fold. It will give back 100-fold. Heard a story coming in this morning on NPR, National Public Radio, about a musician. He plays with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. He's a violinist. And he talks about how one of his missions, he just received a MacArthur Genius Award, because one of his missions in life is to give music back to kids, young people, to poor people, to people with mental illness and people in prison. And he says, you know who the most appreciative audiences are? It's those people. Because we give to them music. And they ask us questions that people who pay hundreds of dollars for tickets to come listen to us in symphony halls never ask us. They give back a hundredfold to what we give them. And the same is true when this congregation, and you know it, I bet you have more stories than I'll ever have time to listen to about what the mission of this congregation has given back to each of you. So look at that pledge card and remember, it's a way not just to give, but to receive back. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us to be your people, and we are wealthy people. Sometimes we think our checkbooks won't balance and the credit card bills are too high. But in reality, you know we're wealthy, and we know we're wealthy. Enable us to use that wealth to reach out and care for and about the world through this congregation and in so many other ways. Remind us that with wealth, gracious God, comes responsibility. But it also comes with joy and with hope that we can reach out and care for each other and the world. Enable us, gracious God, to be stewards. We ask these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.